welcome to the house of the Lord this morning on this great New Year's Eve. Let us go before the Lord in prayer and invite His presence in the name of Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for Your many blessings that You give unto us for this past year and for that which we see forthcoming in the year ahead, because You are God in control and You will bless us and take care of us in every situation. We give You glory and praise and honor as we worship You this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us sing as Heidi prays.
Oh, we have a reason to praise this morning.
Praise in the valley, I'll praise on the mountain.
Oh, yes.
I'll praise when I'm sure, I'll praise when I'm doubting. Praise when I'm numbered, I praise when surrounded.
Oh yes,
'cause praise is the waters my enemies drowned in.
Let's declare this morning.
As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise. When I'm at my when I meant my words, you are still good. In all of my questions, you are the answer. It all points to you. Thank you. souls as I often do. Every song must end, declare it, and you never do.
Thank you.
Up a praise from your heart this morning to the Lord. We praise you, Lord. Just begin right now to speak out some praises from your own heart and with your own words to the Lord. Words of thanksgiving. Praise, we love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for being so good to us, O Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord God, we thank you so much for the privilege today of joining together as the people of God here in this house of worship, experiencing your presence, Lord, and just, Lord, just the joy of thanking you and worshiping you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We acknowledge that every good gift has come from you, and we're so thankful today. We pray, Lord God, that you would just touch us today with a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit. Heal the sick, heal the broken this morning. Deliver those who need freedom in Jesus today. Help us, Lord, just to experience a fresh revival in our own hearts as we worship you together this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for these blessings in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, let's listen for just a moment. Thank you, Lord. Let's thank the Lord for his faithfulness today. We bless you and we praise you, dear Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Well, good morning, everyone. And welcome to the house of the Lord. Let's remain standing for just a moment today. Heidi will be coming to lead us in another worship song here in just a moment. But we want to say a word of welcome to everyone who may be visiting today, perhaps, and many of you who are home for the holidays. Good to see so many of our family members home from here and from abroad and have come home. We just believe everybody should always move back to Jefferson City. Could I have a good amen in the house? And so we just are so grateful to have you here today. Well, Pastor Bob is going to be preaching the message this morning in just a little while after Heidi leads us in another worship song. But before that, I have a very important introduction to make to you this morning. I want to introduce you, my dear congregation, to my beautiful new wife, Miss Brenda Perkins. Come on, Brenda, this way. I told you it would happen this way one day. Many of you know that about almost three and a half years ago now, my twin brother Joel passed away early in life at 56 years old with COVID. And these past 3.5 years then have been years without my dear brother Joel and without Brenda's dear husband. Joel was a very vibrant part of our family. We loved him so much,
And we have missed him every day. We miss him still to this day. But we thank God for the promise and the hope of heaven. Aren't you glad for that this morning? And we thank God that even when life takes unusual turns, God still has good plans for us. Isn't that right? And so Pastor Bob, this past Friday evening, officiated the wedding between Brenda and me in my office, with some of our family gathered and other family who were out of town, David and Brenda watching on FaceTime as they were at a funeral in Kansas City. And you have a married pastor now. How many of you thought that'll never happen? How many of you thought that'll never happen? God is a good God. And Brenda is one of the most beautiful, precious, godly young ladies I have ever known in my life. And so we both love you so much. Our family came together to First Assembly, all together. A big extended family came, started our first Sunday here at First Assembly over on Jefferson Street. I know the date. It was June 22nd, 1986. And when we walked into the congregation, into the sanctuary that day, this congregation was so loving and so gracious and so welcoming to our big extended family, as we had been through a season of discouragement and heartache. And this congregation welcomed us so beautifully that we never looked anywhere else. We never turned our heads to another congregation. We said from the beginning, this is home. From the first Sunday, this is our home. I could not have imagined on that day that I would become the pastor of this church in due time. But here I am. Some time ago, I reviewed, I don't know where I found it, and I haven't been able to find it again, Phil, but I reviewed the minutes of the board and their interview of me as I was a candidate for pastor. Brother Mike Fork was leading as our chairman of the board at that time. We were without a pastor. And I remember talking about the fact that I had planned and hoped to be married within the next few years. And the congregation elected me as pastor, and it's been such a busy life. Here I am, but at 59 years old, how many of you know it's never too late for the Lord? And yes, and so I will just say, Brenda and I love this congregation very much. We look forward to ministering to you as our church family for many years to come, Lord willing, and should the Lord delay his coming. And we are so grateful for the love of this congregation. So thank you. I will not ask Brenda to say anything, or we might be divorced before 1 week is out. So I will not ask her to say anything today, and because she's given strict orders. I do want to invite the vice chairman of our deacon board, Phil LePage, and his wife Sherilyn are coming. And I've asked Phil on behalf of the congregation, and you pray with him as he leads, would you? I've asked Phil on behalf of the congregation to lead in prayer for Brenda and me as we begin this new season. Would you pray with us, Phil?
Well, before we do, I am just thrilled and overjoyed. And Sherilyn will testify to this. I said to Sherilyn a few weeks before Christmas, I said, do you think Lowell will give Brenda a ring for Christmas? Isn't that true? I still don't have. Oh, bless your heart. It's coming. But you know what? I've thought about this day for many days and many years. And I thought if Lowell ever got married, the congregation, when she would walk down the aisle, would say, and we would stand up and say, who giveth this woman to be to this man? The whole congregation would stand up and say, we all do. Would you extend your hand this way toward the pulpit, and let's pray over Brendan Lowell. Father, we thank you so much for the mercy, the grace, the goodness that you've poured into our lives. And Lord, we thank you for this union that you have brought together. We ask you, Father, for the anointing of Lowell and Brenda, for their time that you will have for them in the future. We ask that you would bless their home, bless their union. Father, we pray that you would bless them with the Holy Spirit, governing and directing their lives, ordering their steps. Lord, we are so blessed to have them as leaders of this church and our congregation, the spiritual direction that you pointed them in. And Father, we just thank you for putting them together. Lord, our heart does go out to Joel, Lord, but we know he's with you. And we just thank you, Father, for the time that him and Joel, Brenda and Joel had together. But Lord, we're so rejoicing right now for Lowell and Brenda. We ask that your Holy Spirit will bless them, touch them, and guide them in everything they do and everything they say. Thank you for letting them lead us and guide us. And we pray this in your wonderful name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
There we go. On Friday afternoon, Pastor Bob said, I don't think I want to preach Sunday morning after you make that announcement. Could you just go ahead and preach? I said, no, 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 Pastor Bob. I want you to preach Sunday morning. So thank you for standing long, for praying with us and rejoicing with us today. Let's sing one additional song, and then Pastor Bob will come with a message. Our service will be brief today, and we want everyone to enjoy a beautiful, happy new year. And so let's sing in worship to the Lord, Heidi, and then Pastor Bob will come.
Cries, holy, you're my lifted heart. Amen. You may be seated this morning in your shock and awe, as we all are. You know, in ministry, transitions are everything, and I don't even have a good transition this morning other than to send out my congratulations to Pastor Lowell and Brenda again. And I do have one quick request of Brenda. On behalf of the congregation, we ask Brenda that you keep Lowell with a very long, long honey to-do list so that he has less time to prepare these long, long sermons on Sunday. Hey, can I get a witness? Hey, I have to listen to him twice every Sunday.
Pastor Bob only says that because I said, now, Bob, this is an abbreviated service. Your sermon should be 10 to 15 That's minutes. Right. That's why he's bitter.
That's right. Pray that I get better, because I am bitter. Oh my, good stuff, good stuff. All right, well, good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. And yes, I did try to talk Lowell out of making me preach this morning after that big announcement. I said, I think everybody is going to hear me come across like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, wah, wah. So I get it. I get it. So I may move quickly, real quick, through this message this morning. But Happy New Year. Again, thank you for being in the house of the Lord. It is hard to believe that we are already getting ready to wrap up 2023. And we begin to turn our attention to a new year. And of course, with the beginning of every new year, it brings lots of new excitement, lots of expectations. For me, it used to bring lots of new resolutions, but I just gave up on those a long time ago, skipped those. And who knows, perhaps this may be the year that the Lord comes back. Amen. Looking at everything going on around us in the world, signs are definitely in place that it's very close. The other day I came across yet another sign of how close we are to his return. I actually came across this on Instagram. Yes, Instagram was one of my resources for eschatology. I'm still working on that. But I want to show you a picture and a caption real quick that we know that the Lord is getting close to his return. And check this caption out. Is this what Jesus meant when he said he goes to prepare a place for us? Both Krispy Kreme and Chick-fil-A. How about that? So it looks like he's got everything about two-thirds prepared. All he's got to do is finish building Eris's pizza in heaven, and he's on his way back. Amen. So we're getting close. Maybe this is the year of the Lord's return, and maybe it's not. But while we wait for his return, we must continue to work and to stay busy doing the kingdom work of God. Amen? What a blessing to be part of a local church body that is passionately active, working in his kingdom. And thanks be to God that our church has been able to really accomplish a lot for his kingdom in 2023. But I know that you all would agree with me this morning. There is still much more to do. Jesus has yet to come. And that means we are to move into this new year, that as we move into this new year, that we must remain locked in on the work that God is calling us to in 2024. Yes. It's no time that for us to pump the brakes or to set the cruise, but we need to keep the momentum going this coming year, amen? So for a few moments this morning, I wanna talk to us about how we can keep the work and the mission of God rolling, not only just in our church, but also in our personal lives for this coming year. So to help us to do that, we're gonna go back to the Old Testament, to the Old Testament book of Haggai. Turn to your neighbor this morning and say, Haggai. Don't call him a hag, anything like that. That's not what we're talking about. And we're gonna consider a time when a group of God's people started the work that God had called them to, only to end up stopping the work a short time later. And sadly, after they quit doing the work of God, they quit it for 16 long years before they ever got back to the work that God called them to do. How many know that that's too long? That's a tragedy. That's a waste of life. And although we've not stopped the work of God around here, we can look at what God did to them to get them back to work, and we can then ask God to do these same things in us so that he'll keep us stirred up to continue to do his work in 2024. So before I read our text, let me share a bit of context for our text. If we can we throw the slide up real quick? All right, real quick. To lay a little bit of background, a little bit of foundational information for our text today, going back to 960 BC. I think this was 5 years before Dolores Deshay was born, I think. Sorry, I don't know if Dolores is here today or not. Oh, she is back here. Sorry, Dolores. For some reason, you came to my mind last night as I was rehearsing this sermon. Hey, it fits in with the day, right? Let me check real quick. Has anybody heard anything I've said this morning? Or is it still wah, 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 wah? 960, King Solomon completed the building of the first temple, also known as Solomon's Temple. And it existed for about 374 years. And then the Babylonians came in 586. They destroyed Jerusalem and Judea, and ultimately Solomon's temple. And then many of the Jews were exiled out to Babylon. And so they were in captivity there for about 48 years. And then King Cyrus, the king of Persia, takes over, and he issues a decree to allow the Jews to return back home. And it's there that the Jews begin to rebuild their homeland. And Jerusalem and the surrounding area, and that also included rebuilding the temple of God. That was 538 BC. So for their first 2 years back home, it takes them 2 full years just to lay the foundation of the second temple. And during that time, though, they had experienced great opposition from their neighbors, especially from their neighbors north of them, the Samaritans. And so after 2 years of hard work and opposition and persecution, probably worn out from war and returning home and all that stuff, they just wore out. They got discouraged, they got disillusioned, and they decided to stop the work of God on the temple. They concluded, you know what, this must not be the time that we're to rebuild this temple of God. And so for the next 16 years, from 536 BC down to 520 BC, the rebuilding of the temple is placed on hold until 520 BC, when the word of the Lord comes to Haggai to deliver back to the Jewish people. And if we were to look in the book of Haggai, it's only got two chapters, but it's got four distinct messages from God for those Jews that returned home. But we're going to just look at the first message today that Haggai had brought back. And in that message, he urged Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, to basically to get the people of God back to work and resume the building of God's temple. So today I want us to consider this first message of Haggai in chapter 1. And within this message, I want to quickly this morning, I see the clock today. I'm under strong mandate to be quick this morning. And so I want to quickly point out four actions that God did in the lives of his people in order to get them back to work. And I believe that as we consider these four actions this morning, that they would certainly be appropriate, especially as we stand on the doorsteps of 2024 and we were to call out to God in prayer and ask God to do these same things in our lives to stir us up for the work that he has in 2024 so we might not have any kind of letdown in 2024. So, all right, here we go real quick. Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. Says that in the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, again, these people are the Jewish exiles that had returned back to Jerusalem from Babylonian captivity 18 years earlier. The Lord said, these people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while the house of God remains a ruin? So here God's calling them out. They had taken time to rebuild their own homes and remodel them while the whole time letting the temple lay in ruins the past 16 years. Verse 5, it says, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but you have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Here God is pointing out to them that, listen, just because you work hard doesn't mean that you're gonna automatically get the blessings of God. Because what they had thought is that, hey, if we go to working hard, God will bless us. But the whole time they were leaving God really out of their society and out of their work. And God was reminding them that, no, my blessings come first and foremost to the people of God when they obey me and include me in on things, amen? But that's a principle to consider another day. Verse 7, it says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. He says, give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down the timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought back home, I blew away. Why? Why did this happen, declares the Lord? Because of my house, which remains in ruin while each of you is busy with his own house. And therefore, because of you, God's getting ready to explain to them why he sent a strong drought on everything in the land. It wasn't because of God, but it was because of their disobedience to him. Because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle, and on the labor of your hands. A drought on everything. Then Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. And then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord, as the Lord reminded us this morning. And so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, of Joshua, and of the whole remnant of the people. And they came and they began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I've titled this message this morning, Let's Show Up in 2024. That is, let's plan to show up once again and continue to do the work of God. So again, I want to point out real quick four actions that God did in the lives of these Jews that had returned back home from exile that got them back to doing the work of God after a 16-year layoff. And again, it would be good for us at the beginning of this year to call out to God and say, you know what, God, even though we got the work rolling, continue to do these things in our lives. So the first thing that God had to do in the lives of these people before putting them back to work was he had to first go and straighten some things up in their life. There were several things that they needed fixed in their life. And the first thing that he had to straighten up was their thought life and their mouths. Their thought life and their mouths. Is anybody here today honest enough to confess that God's had to do that to you over the years? Maybe even more than once, yep. Sometimes we can get our thoughts messed up, which leads to our mouths being up, messed up. Look at verse 2 real quick. God said that these people are saying the time has not yet come to build the house of God. This was a wrong thinking. This was a wrong statement. The truth was that it was the right time to start building because God said it was so. How many know that when God says it, that settles it? Amen. They had started the rebuilding project 18 years earlier, but when they ran into some opposition and they began to experience some threats and persecution from their surrounding neighbors, they became discouraged and they became disillusioned. And ultimately, they concluded that, you know what? This must not be the time. So they ultimately decided to quit the work of God. But this was totally against God's plans for their lives. Friends, I want to remind us real quick this morning that if we're not careful, we can actually become guilty of thoughts and words that are contrary to the will and the work of God in our lives. Amen? We got to be careful. And we know that ungodly thoughts can lead to ungodly words, and ungodly words will lead ultimately to ungodly actions. And actually, in this particular story, it led to inaction. And it can happen to those that are even living very close to God. We see that within this remnant that God had brought back from Babylonian captivity. He was close to them. He was with them. But somewhere along the way, they got their thoughts wrong and their words wrong. And they got all messed up. We also have examples of that in the New Testament. We can go back and pick on the Apostle Peter. You know, if you remember Peter, he was called by God. He was this great apostle that Jesus reached out to and trusted him to carry the gospel message to the world. But yet we see on one occasion, shortly before Christ was going to be crucified, he turns to the disciples and he begins to let them know that, hey, I'm going to have to go suffer here in a little while. I'm going to be killed so that I might rise again in 3 days. And when Peter heard this, he did not like that plan. He had a different thought. He had a different plan. And get this, he began to rebuke the Lord Jesus Christ. Began to rebuke Jesus. And if you remember, Jesus hit him back with the old, get behind me, Satan. And he called him a stumbling block. A stumbling block. Think about that. And he told him, he said, Peter, you don't have the things of God in mind, but you have the things of man. Wow, this ought to remind us this morning, friends, that even the close followers of Christ can get all messed up in their thoughts and get all messed up in our speech and get all messed up even in our priorities. Amen? We got to be careful. Sometimes all it takes for us to mess up our thinking and our talking and our priorities is to try to throw a little bit of human reasoning and logic in the assignments that God gives us. When God calls us to do certain things, we start out with God, but how many know we have this tendency to take over the wheel, if you will, and take control and begin to put our human reasoning and logic to it? I know I've been there many times before, Matter of fact, I remember that almost 20 years ago, it'll be 20 years this coming September, that I felt that God was calling me into full-time ministry at the age of 29 years old. I was working for Jefferson Bank. And I remember that when I accepted that call of God into my life, that God did not give me all the details of such as a timetable when it was all gonna take place. So as you can imagine, I just kind of made up my own timetable. And I thought, you know what? It's gonna take me about 3 years to complete the coursework to the district office to become an ordained credential minister with the Assemblies of God. And then I'll be 32 years old. That still won't be quite too old. And then I'll start looking to make a transition into full-time ministry, what God was calling me to. And I remember sharing this with the pastor friend of mine. And I began to, and he was excited about what God was calling me to. But then when I began to share with him how it's gonna be about a 3-year window, I remember he, after I quit talking, he looked right at me in the face. He said, Bob, he says, this doesn't happen very often to me, but I believe that I have a word from the Lord for you. He said, I believe the Lord wants you to throw away your timetable. Throw away your timetable, my 3-year timetable. I needed that 3-year timetable. I needed to build up some money because, you know, preachers are supposed to be poor and their families live in poverty. I was going to steal some money from the bank, embezzle it and all that stuff. No, I wasn't. But, you know, that hit me right in the heart. And I knew that that was a word from the Lord. And I got in the car that night and I told Deanna about it. And I said, I received that. I believe I'm supposed to throw away the timetable. And friends, I kid you not, it was about 1 month later, Pastor Lowell calls me and says, hey, we got a position on open up on staff here. We heard you're called into full-time ministry. We'd like for you to come on and join us. 1 month later, one of the greatest days of my life and one of the worst days of Pastor Lowell's life. I don't even have to look that way. I know he's lifting his hands and pray and agreeing. But see, friends, the point is, we got to make sure we don't let our human logic and reasoning slip in to the call and the assignments that he has for us in 2024. Amen? Amen. So, skipping ahead because I see the clock. We got to keep moving. But before we go to the second action, I do want to mention real quick that God also called these people out for having the wrong priorities. Look at it in verse 4. God asked them, is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while my house remains a ruin? And then again in verse 9, he calls them out and for leaving his house in ruins while each of them was busy tending to his own house. And then God tells them in verses 7 and 8, basically, you need to straighten up your priorities. You need to get back to work. And friends, I believe as we prepare to launch into 2024, that we ought to find time in the next few hours this afternoon or this evening and go before the Lord and say, God, is there anything that's broken in my life? God, do you need to fix my agenda? God, do you need to fix my priorities, Lord God? Am I seeking you first, Lord God? Whatever it is, Lord God, straighten me up so that I can be a great servant for you in 2024. Amen. Amen. So God straightened them up before putting them back to work. Next, we see that this strong word of correction, and we might say it a strong word of rebuke that Haggai delivered to them, it got through to them. It shook them. That's our next point. They were shaken. They were shaken. Look at verse 12. It says that Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the whole remnant of the people, they obeyed the voice of the Lord and the message of the prophet Haggai because the Lord, their God, had sent him. And get this, and the people feared the Lord. It's like they immediately recognized that this is a word of correction from the Lord. It's like they immediately recognize, oh no, for the last 16 years, we've been carrying on our lives with no awareness, no concern that our God in heaven is looking down upon us in everything that we do. And we have been messing things up. And that word of God, the voice of God that came to them, shook their hearts for the first time in 16 years. Friends, I think we need to commit ourselves at the beginning of this new year to first of all, make sure that we never forget that the presence of God is with us, that his eyes are upon us, that everything we do both collectively, corporately, and privately, the Lord sees it. Everything is laid before the eyes of the Lord, amen? But they had forgot that. And let me submit to you this morning, friends, when we live our lives, whether it's our personal life or our church life, with no real awareness, ongoing awareness, that the Lord is with us and that he's seeing everything that we do. How many know it's most likely that we won't hear the voice of God that's trying to speak to us? Friends, I submit to us today in 2024, if we need anything, if we need to continue anything in 2024 in our church life and our private life, we need to make sure that we continue to hear the voice of the Lord, amen? May the Lord's voice continue to shake us so that we might do his work in 2024, amen? All right, I'm off my notes here. We're just going to roll with it here. So God, first of all, he had to straighten them up. Second of all, he shook them up. And then thirdly, he strengthened them up. God knew that the work he had for them was going to be great. He knew it was going to require lots of effort, a lot of energy. There was going to be a lot of challenges. It was going to be taxing. It was going to take a lot of grit. And it was going to be tiresome. Matter of fact, remember, they had already quit the work of God once. They had already quit on him once. But God knew this, but God wanted to encourage them. And I believe he wants to encourage us again, as he already did through the gifts of the Spirit earlier. Look at verse 13. He said, I am with you. So friends, real quick, whatever God calls us to in 2024, no matter how hard the call is, no matter how difficult the assignment is, no matter how difficult the person is that maybe God's calling us to reach, no matter how difficult the circumstances and the setting that God may call us to do his work, remember, we'll never go into it by ourselves. God guaranteed us he will always be with us, amen? So listen, step out and do that work, do that assignment that he's called you to. So God straightened them up. God, what's the next one? Shook them up, thank you. Somebody is listening to me this morning. And God strengthened them up. And fourthly, and finally, God stirred them up. How can we as Pentecostals not love verse 14? It says, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. He stirred up the spirit of Joshua, the high priest, and he stirred up the whole remnant of the people. God put a new passion and a new fire in their hearts again for the things of God. And he started stirring up the hearts from the very top to the very bottom. And I thought, oh God, that needs to be our prayer in 2024. Yet again, God, stir us for this new season, this new opportunity that's before us. Stir us from the top to the bottom. We need the fire of God to continue to flow through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Then finally, after God did all these things to them, after he straightened them up, after he shook them up, he strengthened them up, and then he stirred them up. And then finally, after all these things, the way I see it, they were now ready to show up. They were ready to show up on the job site. They were ready to go to the place that God had prepared for them to do his work, to build his kingdom. They were ready to show up. And friends, I think that's one of the best prayers, one of the best responses that we can have as we begin to launch up and launch into 2024. May we be a people that show up to the job site that God has for us. And as you stand with me right now, I want to share with you real quick two short stories about showing up to the call that God gives us in 2024. About three Wednesday nights ago, as a matter of fact, I know it was three Wednesday nights ago, after our young adult service upstairs, I was visiting with a group of young adults and we began to talk about the great love and mercy and the compassion of God and how he can just really do a work in anybody's life, and he wants anybody, he'll save anybody. And I'll never forget what one of the young adults there shared with me. He's from out of town, goes to school at Mizzou. And he told me the story that a few years ago, his grandpa passed away when he was 104 years old. And he told me that Bobby never really lived a day of his life for the Lord. He declared boldly to be an atheist. He wanted nothing to do with God. 104 years, that was his staunch stance. And he wasn't wavering. But he told me, he said, you know what? He said 6 days before he passed, God sent the local pastor to visit my grandpa. Yes. And he said, are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Do you want to be ready? Jesus will still take you if you'll accept him. And I can lead you in a center of prayer to make things right between you and God. And he said, for the first time in my grandpa's 104 years, he said, yes, I'm ready now. And that local pastor led him to the Lord 6 days before he passed. Think about that. He couldn't even declare that he lived a week for the Lord on this earth. But the love and the mercy of God is so powerful. I'm so thankful that that pastor showed up that day. I know from pastors, we can get worn out just like you guys can. Don't always feel like it, but yet he still went. He showed up for the assignment, the call that God had for him that day. And just so you don't think this message is mainly for full-time preachers and pastors today, let me give you one other real quick testimony. I got permission. I see you guys back there now, Clayton and Peggy Allen. I called them this week. Say, hey, can I have your permission to share your story, your testimony? Their son, Ricky, passed away this past October. He had become very sick, very ill one night. And had to call the ambulance. They came and picked him up, took him to the ER. He was admitted to the hospital. The next morning, Pastor Lowell and I went to visit him. By that time, he was non-responsive. He was on life support. And we prayed with him, we left. Then it was just a few hours later, we got the call that he had passed away. And Clayton, I believe, shared this story with Pastor Lowell. He shared it with me, and then I called and got it from Clayton the other day. He said that during that season, when they were in the hospital, they were praying, God, if we just had some more confirmation that he was ready to meet you, that would help so much. God, if we just had more confirmation, he was ready. And he said, within about 3 minutes after Ricky's passing, Clayton steps out into the hall of that hospital, begins to sign all the paperwork that's involved. And he said, a man walks up, a stranger, never seen him before. And he said, excuse me, sir, but I'm here to visit Ricky. Do you know where I might find him? He said, well, I'm actually his dad. He's no longer with us. He's gone on. And he said, oh, okay. And Clayton said, well, who are you, sir? He said, well, I was the EMT that night with your son in the back of the ambulance. Sorry, I know it should be more uplifting. This is uplifting. Let me correct that. He said, on the way to the hospital in the back of the ambulance, he said, I told Ricky, I said, you're not in good shape. He said, there's a really good chance you're not going to make it. I'm a Christian. Can I pray with you? Do you know the Lord? And he said, yeah, I do, but I think I do, but would you mind praying with me and leading me in that prayer again? And he said, yes. And at that point, he was still coherent. And that EMT led him in the sinner's prayer to make sure things were right between him and God. And as you can imagine, when that guy told that to Clayton and to Peggy, Clayton just reached up and just gave him a big old hug and said, thank you. Aren't we so glad that when that EMT showed up that night to do his earthly job, he was really showing up to do kingdom work that night, amen? He was there, ready to serve God. Now listen, friends, we may not always get those direct results when we take on those assignments that God gives us. But listen, just continue to plant in faith and leave the results to God, and we'll have a great year working for the Lord, amen? Amen. God bless you this morning. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.